It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
But even more importantly, some people are getting contacted by scammers, and what the scammers are telling you, either on the internet or by phone or even by mail, is that they can help you get this money if you just pay them a fee, and that's not true. You don't have to pay anybody a fee to help you get this money. You just have to wait until you get a claim form in the mail. And the only thing you really should be doing at this point is perhaps going to the Attorney General's website and putting in your correct mailing information and then waiting for the claim form. Now, once you get the claim form, then you'll have to fill that out. But right now, it could be months before anybody gets these forms.
Consumer attorney Jay Spear, Executive Director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, discusses the specifics of the National Mortgage Settlement, the largest monetary settlement since the 1998 tobacco settlement, and discusses who is eligible for what relief and why relief still may be hard to come by. And we talk about National Healthcare Decisions Day coming up on Monday, April 16, and the easy steps you need to take to prepare an advance directive. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 162, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. The fifth annual National Healthcare Decisions Day is this Monday, April 16. All adults can benefit from thinking about what their healthcare choices would be if they are unable to speak for themselves. These decisions can be written down in an advance directive so that others know what they are. Advance directives come in two main forms. One is a healthcare power of attorney that selects a person to be your voice for your healthcare decisions if you cannot speak for yourself or you cannot make an informed decision. The other is a living will that says what kinds of medical treatments you would want or would not want at the end of life. Despite recent gains in public awareness of the need for advance care planning, studies indicate that most Americans have not exercised their right to make decisions about their health care in the event they cannot speak for themselves or make an informed decision. A new study found that less than 25% of people had advance directives, despite 80% of them recognizing the importance of advance care planning, and only 8% had been asked about advance directives by their physicians. In Virginia, both the healthcare power of attorney and the living will have been combined in a single document called the Virginia Advance Directive for Healthcare. Anyone 18 years of age or older can prepare this document. You may appoint any adult 18 years of age or older to be your healthcare power of attorney, also known as your agent. You also should choose an alternate in case your first choice is unavailable. The document must be signed by two witnesses. Your spouse or a relative can be a witness as long as they are adults. Your agent also can be a witness, but to avoid the chance of conflict, it is better to have someone who is not your agent or your alternate agent be a witness. An advance directive does not have to be notarized. Just as important as creating an advance directive is making sure that other people know you have it and know where it is located. You should give a copy or the original to your agent, give a copy to your doctors, to family, and to friends, and bring a copy to the hospital with you. In addition, you should keep a copy of your advance directive in a safe place where it can be found easily. Do not keep your only copy in a lockbox or safe. A form is available at www.vha.com/healthcaredecisionmaking.html. Information about the National Healthcare Decisions Day is available at www.nhdd.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Carter v. Barnhart. In 1992, a Social Security administrative law judge found Dorothy Carter disabled and entitled to SSI based upon her severe back impairment. The benefits terminated in 1996 because she married a spouse whose income made her ineligible to receive SSI. She reapplied for disability benefits in 1998, but in the year 2000, the same administrative law judge, relying in part upon the same medical evidence, found the back condition not disabling. However, on appeal, the United States District Court for the Western District of Virginia reversed and remanded. The court held that although a prior determination of disability is not conclusive, Social Security may reach a different result only if there is substantial evidence of improvement in the claimant's condition. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and Carter v. Barnhart is this week's Case That Changed the Commonwealth.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center. We're speaking with consumer law attorney and executive director Jay Spear. And we'll be talking today about the National Mortgage Settlement. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you for having me.
Would you tell our listeners, Jay, what is the National Mortgage Settlement and how did it come about in the first place?
Well, there was a lot of foreclosure fraud going on, meaning that, in fact, a lot of this was found through private attorneys who were representing homeowners, and then there were a lot of stories in the media about this, but it was a lot of the companies that were foreclosing on people were using false or fraudulent documents to go forward with the foreclosure. And so a lot of the state attorney generals around the country got together and started meeting with the banks, mainly the mortgage servicers who were responsible for foreclosing on people's homes. And after very lengthy negotiations, they were able to get 49 of the state attorney generals signed on to a settlement with five different mortgage servicers who are a big chunk of the market, and they reached an agreement, which just recently was filed as a consent decree in a Washington, D.C. court, but the judge has not yet signed it yet.
Now, I gather that the National Mortgage Settlement grants relief to sort of three big categories of homeowners, or at least possible relief to three big categories of homeowners. Let's take those categories one at a time. What's the first category of people who might be able to get some relief under this settlement?
Okay, well, the first category would be someone who has already lost their home to foreclosure. There are cash payments that the mortgage servicers have made that will make once this, if this settlement goes through, which I assume it will, but we don't know for sure yet. But in each state, we'll get a chunk of money. It is estimated that if you fit into this category, you would probably get a payment of between $1,800 and $2,000.
And what do you have to do to be eligible for this? You mentioned, first of all, that the settlement is not with every bank or every mortgage servicer, but only with some.
So basically, you would have to own the home when it was foreclosed on. Your foreclosure sale had to have been completed between January 1st, 2008 and December 31st, 2011. So in other words, during 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011. And the mortgage was serviced or owned by Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, or Ally Financial, which used to be known as GMAC.
So how does someone process their claim, or how does someone even know that they might be eligible for relief under the national mortgage settlement if they got foreclosed upon? Do they have to do something? Is someone going to try to contact them?
That's the way it's supposed to work, is that you should receive a claim form in the mail if you fit this category. Now, if you think maybe they're going to have trouble finding you, you can go on the Virginia Attorney General's website and give them your current mailing information or your current residence. One thing that's really important to note here is that it's going to be a while before people get these notices. So if you haven't gotten this notice yet, don't worry about it. It could be several months from now. But even more importantly, some people are getting contacted by scammers. And what the scammers are telling you, either on the internet or by phone or even by mail, is that they can help you get this money if you just pay them a fee. And that's not true. You don't have to pay anybody a fee to help you get this money. You just have to wait until you get a claim form in the mail. And the only thing you really should be doing at this point is perhaps going to the Attorney General's website and putting in your correct mailing information and then waiting for the claim form. Now, once you get the claim form, then you'll have to fill that out. But right now, it could be months before anybody gets these forms.
And if someone is contacted by a scammer, someone who is trying to, quote, help them get their money sooner or is even offering to provide their services for a fee to help them expedite their claim, what should someone who is contacted by a scammer do about that?
First of all, be sure you don't give that person any information at all. And certainly you wouldn't want to give them any your Social Security number, or your bank account, or anything. But you should report them to the Virginia Attorney General's office.
Okay, so that takes care of the first category of folks, the folks who have already lost their home to foreclosure to one of these five banks in 2008, 2009, 2010, or 2011. What's the next category of people who might be eligible for some relief under the national mortgage settlement?
These would be people who are current on their loan. In other words, you're making all your mortgage payments, but you're underwater. Now, what that means is that you owe more money on your house than it's worth. So in other words, if your house is currently valued at $100,000 and you owe $150,000 on your mortgage, you are underwater $50,000. Now, a lot of people are underwater these days and may not even know it, but because housing values have definitely dropped. I know my own home has dropped significantly. But in order to get relief, you would have to be current. In other words, you're making all your payments on time and underwater.
And how would you even know that your house was underwater?
Well, what you'd have to do is find out from your mortgage company how much is owed on your mortgage if you don't already know that. And typically, you get stuff in the mail. And also, typically, mortgage companies, you can check on their websites or you can make a phone call and find out how much is owed on your loan. Then you have to figure out what your house is worth. Now, everybody gets a tax assessment, which these days are fairly accurate. They used to be fairly undervalued, but now tax assessments are a little bit closer to the true value. Or there's also all kinds of websites you can go to that will value. If you plug in an address, they'll give you a value. So that can give you a good idea.
And are there other requirements that you have to meet in order to get some type of relief if you're current on your loan but underwater? For example, do you have to have a particular interest rate on your loan right now?
Yeah, there's, in fact, a lot of other requirements. And so this is definitely not going to be for everybody. And as I understand it, your current interest rate has to be at least 5.25%. So if you have an interest rate under 5.25%, you're not going to qualify for this relief. You have to own your home, of course. Your mortgage has to be serviced and owned by those same banks that I mentioned earlier, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, and Ally. If your loan is Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac owned, they may be eligible for refinance under a separate program. And you can go to a website and find whether your loan is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. You can get links to all this information if you go to the Virginia Poverty Law Center website. On our front page, you'll see on the right-hand side, National Mortgage Settlement, what you need to know, and you can click on that. There's all sorts of links to other places. The Poverty Law Center website is www.vplc.org.
Okay, so let's assume somebody meets all those requirements. What kind of a relief can they get from one of these five big banks?
Again, it's going to be months before any of this comes about, and of course, we don't know for sure that the settlement's going to be approved, but assuming it is, and assuming we're months down the road, you're going to have to apply for this relief at your servicer. And again, it has to be one of those servicers. It's really kind of unclear what the application process is going to be, and we really don't know for sure how that's going to happen. It's a very big unknown.
Okay, well, the third category, I gather, is people who are not current on their mortgage but are, in fact, behind or at risk of foreclosure. So what could those people possibly expect?
And this would be folks that are late on their mortgage or at risk of missing payments. Some potential things that might happen, you might be able to get would be a loan modification. In other words, change the terms of your loan. Maybe even write down the principal. In other words, if you owed $100,000, it's possible you might be eligible to have that reduced to maybe $80,000 or something like that. Get some relief that way. There's things called forbearance where they give you a chance to catch up and not have to pay back what you're behind. There's a short sale where you can sell your house, even though you may owe $150,000. You could sell your house for $100,000 and the bank doesn't come after you for the extra $50,000. There's relocation assistance. It really pretty much runs the gamut of somebody who is trying to save the home, or somebody wants to put it gracefully exit the home, or at least exit the home with some kind of help and not be left with a lot of extra debt.
Now, these various forms of relief that you've mentioned, loan modification, forbearance, short sale, or even just giving the home back, a deed in lieu of foreclosure, I mean, those things have been out there for years. How does this national mortgage settlement change things at all for the borrowers who are out there?
That's a really good question, and it's a difficult thing to answer. I personally hope that this will work a lot better than what we've had so far. It looks like there's going to be much more enforcement, and there's going to be the banks have committed to a certain number. You've heard the number of $26 billion on the settlement. Most of that money is what the banks have said that they're going to do as far as modifying loans and giving people principal write-downs and that sort of thing. So there's sort of these benchmarks that they're going to have to meet if this settlement goes through. There's going to be somebody appointed to oversee this settlement, and we certainly hope that person will have some authority. And I mean, the settlement agreement itself gives that person authority to make fines against the banks and that sort of thing. But it's a really big question because up till now, we've had these programs. They have not worked very well. The banks have basically ignored them. But the hope is, and certainly it's clear that the attorney generals have tried to address these problems, putting in some enforcement mechanisms. Whether it will actually work remains to be seen.
Now, one of the things that the National Mortgage Settlement did was incorporated certain servicing standards that at least would apply to these five banks, and one of those things had to do with dual tracking. Can you tell our listening audience what dual tracking is and what that problem involves?
This is probably the best part of this whole settlement, if this goes through, is the fact that the banks have agreed to many, many changes in the foreclosure process. And as you mentioned, dual tracking is probably the biggest problem we currently have with our foreclosure system. And what dual tracking refers to is a homeowner, on the one hand, is talking to somebody at their mortgage servicer about a modification, and at the same time, somebody else at the mortgage servicer is going forward with the foreclosure. They call it dual tracking because it's two things at the same time, which seem to be totally contrary to each other. One person at the company working on your modification to keep you in the home, and then another person at the company working to get you out of the home through a foreclosure. these new standards, if they are adopted, will say that they cannot do that, which really, to me, makes total sense. It makes no sense at all under this current system to foreclose on somebody at the same time you're working on trying to modify their loan. And that's what these new standards will do, is they'll say once you're in the modification process, they cannot go ahead with the foreclosure. That process has to stop.
Now, the other thing in the servicing standard that I think is really important, you mentioned the problem of the banks foreclosing, especially in a state like Virginia that has non-judicial foreclosure, where there's no court oversight at all unless the borrower brings a lawsuit to court. The lenders basically foreclose outside of court with whatever documents they have, and you mentioned that there were problems with those documents being either signed by people who didn't know the information was true, or even signed by what's called robo-signers, who weren't even necessarily the people who were authorized to sign them. What are the banks supposed to do now with these new servicing standards?
There's going to be a process where you can appeal. If you think things are going forward and they're not, and you're supposed to be getting a modification, whoever's overseeing this new system is going to be able, you're going to be able to appeal to that person and get some help. I mean, under our current system, because there's no courts involved, the only way you can stop a foreclosure is to go get an attorney to stop the foreclosure through an injunction, and that's very, very difficult to do. Very few attorneys will do that, and you, most people are just basically out of luck. So hopefully this new system will give more people someone to turn to if they're not following the proper process or if they should be getting a modification.
Okay, and you mentioned that the Virginia Poverty Law Center has a website that has a link to the information about the National Mortgage Settlement. Is there also a site they can go directly to and find information?
Yes, a good site to go to that has, and in fact, this is one of the sites that we link to, is the Center for Responsible Lending down in North Carolina. They've done a really nice summary of what your rights are under this. So if you get on Google and just put in Center for Responsible Lending, it'll take you right to their website. It's www.responsiblelending.org.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. We have been talking with Jay Spear. He is the executive director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center. We have been talking about the few knowns and the many unknowns about the National Mortgage Settlement. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jay.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 52, which deals with the state police. Code of Virginia Section 52-40 deals with insurance fraud and states that all applications for insurance and all claim forms provided and required by an insurer shall contain a statement which clearly states that it is a crime to knowingly provide false, incomplete, or misleading information to an insurance company for the purpose of defrauding the company, and that penalties include imprisonment, fines, and denial of insurance benefits. But the next sentence says that the lack of the required statement does not constitute a defense in any criminal prosecution. So, ignorance of the law truly is no excuse. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. If you are a senior or a young adult or have a child or own a small business, you already are seeing the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, which was argued in the U.S. Supreme Court last month. Join us next week when health law attorney Jill Henkin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explains how the act already is providing lower costs and better health coverage for 165 million privately insured Americans. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright. My Lord.